This is Eye on the Future with Morris Mizalowski.
Yes, it is. Every second Monday, our business futurist, Morris Mizalowski, joins us to take us through how the future is actually here already. And it certainly is almost 100% of the time. Morris Mizalowski, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning to you, Kia.
Let us talk the very interesting subject of the nexus between technology and law within our community. Obviously, it's already something that has started to happen. I hear ads frequently about online legal services, etc., and also the idea that eventually it might be a machine being our lawyer, i.e. artificial intelligence. So as always, surprise us by just how far advanced we are already, Morris.
Well, as you said, it's already being done. So what we have is an industry that swore black and blue as recently as 5 years ago that technology would never ravage it, that lawyers were here to stay, solicitors were here to stay, and that nothing technology had to offer could assist them in any way. And within the last 5 years, I would use the word decimated. The industry really has come to terms with the fact that technology is changing everything about what it means to be a solicitor or a lawyer, how it is to administer the law, and what's likely to happen in the future.
Now, what are the most surprising elements of this, Morris? It would make sense to most of us that you could connect with a lawyer via some form of online platform, but it would make a lot less sense to many of us that actual artificial intelligence is already at work doing the lawing itself.
Well, it is, and it is to an extent. Look, Australia is still lagging behind, and we as a society need to decide how much of it we want, although I think the decision's been made by the marketplace. The cost reduction, I think, in itself will make this more of a plausible space. But what we're seeing are chatbots, and we've spoken before, chatbots are very similar to that thing we go online where we're looking for a hotel, that little thing at the bottom pops up and it asks us a question, do you want to talk to somebody? And we type away or we speak to it. These chatbots are moving into the legal space, and there are a number of these offered by law firms and also by specialists, including the government. There's an interesting one that's just opened in the last 5 or 6 days online. It's by a law firm called Norton Rose Fulbright. And what it does, it's a chatbot called Parker, because you have to give chatbots names now. That's become the new vernacular. But what it does is you can go in and ask it questions about privacy laws in Australia. And the thought behind it is that if you're not sure if you are infringing on privacy laws, then you can type into it the thing that you want to put up or a link to the website or wherever that document is, and it will check it for you and let you know whether in fact you have. And if you need some assistance, of course, we'll then push you back to the law firm where you might be able to get that.
Okay, so that makes sense, again, to most of us. That it's, I guess, something, though, Morris, is, you know, to what degree reliable when you're actually accessing services such as that. I'm imagining there must be some pretty heavy disclaimers going on.
Well, there is, but again, what it's doing is not dissimilar from humans. So all it's doing is going into precedent, it's looking at past cases, it's taking the emotion out of them, and it's looking for keywords and all sorts of other metadata and giving you back the most likely results of that. You know, a couple of responses to it is that there's a really interesting, again, chatbot that works, but not in Australia, unfortunately. It's called Do Not Pay. It's an English-based one written at that time by a 17-year-old called Joshua Browden. And it was for parking fines, or is for parking fines. And if you receive a parking fine and think it's wrong, you pump the details into it and it will look up the local council laws and look for the precedents. And it will tell you whether, in fact, it is likely or unlikely that you will have to pay that fine, and then assemble a letter for you that you can then download and send off that will have all the precedent and things in it. But also there's been one further test done, and it's by, it was called Case Cruncher. Again, this is London-based, but what it did was to pit artificial intelligence, these chatbots, against 100 lawyers. And it gave 100 lawyers all sorts of possibilities around going to an ombudsman. Now, this was an ombudsman to check, in fact, it's called Payment Protection Insurance, but to see whether you were entitled to the ombudsman's assistance. And out of 775 cases that these lawyers and the AI were given, humans got it right 66.3% of the time, but the bot got it consistently right 86.6% of the time.
Wow, so that is some pretty solid evidence behind the AI being an incredibly important technology going forward, Morris. What about within legal firms themselves? Are they already starting to utilise similar AI?
We're starting to see it. There's a system called ROSS, R-O-S-S, which has been put together by IBM. It's the same system that won Jeopardy. It has various names depending on the industry it goes into. And what ROSS does is to look for all the precedent case. So there's a case coming up, you want to know everything that's happened before, what the judges have said before, what kind of witnesses were used, whatever you want to know about it that's in the public sphere. And what ROSS does is to take that information and assemble it all together into a brief. And it does it literally within 60, 90 seconds, a couple of minutes, depending on how much information there is for it to assemble, but very quickly. This has traditionally been the role of a legal clerk, and she or he, with the best of effort, the best of intent, wonderful training, wonderful humans, could take hours, days, weeks to do the same, to look through all of it. So yes, it's starting to be used by the higher end legal firms because of the cost still, but it's definitely going to trickle its way down.
And as that begins to, or continues to expand, like every other technology in this space that we've been discussing, where is that going to ultimately leave human lawyers within that particular landscape, Morris?
Well, that's where I think you and I need to keep chatting. As humans, we need to decide how much of it we want. There is already a conversation around, and I think it's a legitimate one, that judges should be using artificial intelligence to be able to figure out what is it that most other judges have said about similar cases, what are the expectations of the community about similar cases, and then to use that as an insight from which she or he makes a decision. So I don't ever want to see it where it sits there and presides and tells us what to do, but I think it's a great tool for humans to use. Now, again, that's not being readily used at the moment, but the technology is there. So should we do it? It's really a question we have to ask. In some ways, for me, as long as it always pushes back to humans who are trained, who are knowledgeable, who know what they're doing, as one form of input, I think it's valuable.
But of course, as you say, a judge trying to get over all of the precedent and case law prior to the thing that they're adjudicating on, possibly not possible for a human being to actually achieve, and thus the machine will do a better job of that.
Well, it's cold, it's hard, it's clinical, and sometimes the law in its basics has to be that, and then we have to apply humanity onto it. But you're right, with the best of intent, and I've spoken to many lawyers, many judges about this and about other issues as well, it's if in the right context, this is really useful because there's only so much time that they have. They are really overworked. They're overstretched. So if we can give them these kind of tools, I think we end up with better law. I think we end up with better sentences or better whatever it is we want out of that situation.
Now, Morris, let's also talk about the impact of technology on just evidence gathering as well. I mean, we've already had cases where, like Alexa stuff, the Amazon home tool where people speak to, like evidence from that having been recorded, used in court. I think about the fact that we've all got that tracking software on our smartphones, and we see so many more dash cams and CCTV footage around, even from just the front of people's houses these days. So what impact is that going to have, Morris?
I think it's going to have a huge impact. I mean, I still look at it with awe. 5-10 years ago, we would never have considered to have these things as part of a case. I'm not even sure that the legality of it stood up. But today, as you've said, webcams, all these sorts of dash cams, they're all part of our everyday news. I mean, literally, we see them on the news. They end up in court cases. If I'm trying to prove where I am, one of the ways I can do that is by my mobile device that tracks me. Of course, I've got to authenticate that. These are not just taken for granted. But they're tools we can use. We're going to see more and more of these things, and again, they provide cold, hard, clinical evidence of having done or not done something, being somewhere or not being somewhere. For insurance companies, they are increasingly looking for dash cam evidence, for instance, to be able to make decisions about whether it was an accident, whose fault, and who should be paying for it. So expect to see a lot more of these sorts of things enter into our legal atmosphere.
And are we perhaps, Morris, then going to be forced into doing so ourselves if we don't already, based on the preponderance of other people who are already doing it?
We will, but it's also becoming part of our everyday. They will eventually be built into the car. At the moment, they sit outside of it. For most people, you've got to install it. That will take care of itself in the next few years as cars come with it. Our homes are increasingly having these sorts of cameras in it. Not everybody, but lots of people. Most of us carry mobile phones around which are doing this. So we're slowly having these sorts of things on us. It's not like we're going to have to go out and especially buy them. So that makes them prevalent. It makes them something everybody has, or most people has, have access to, and that's why our lawmakers and our legal providers are beginning to use them as tools.
As always, Maurice Maslowski, it's an eye-opening chat, and one that I think we can all reflect upon our own position in life and the utilisation of that technology. Appreciate it, mate, and we'll catch you again in a couple of weeks' time.
Pleasure as always. Look forward to it.
Maurice Maslowski, one eye on the future, one eye on the current tense. We have him online as well. You can just search for Maurice Maslowski, his name as well. Businessfutures.com is also his website. It is now 9:45. You are on ABC Far North. A reminder.